Okay, it's my last day with you. I'm going to do some science. I'm going to start off pound cannonballs. I put foil on one, but I mean, they're heavy. Right?
They are.
And I made them rusty. I put salt on them in the rain and stuff. Hi! I'm glad you're here.
Hi!
And you're in the right place, because I want to use this aisle for my science.
Okay.
So, all right. Thermite is a chemical. It's like a powder, and you can lay it on your car's motor block and light it with magnesium ribbon. It would take heat, and it would burn right through the motor block. It's that hot. It's for like 4,000 degrees. Mm. And I can do that right here, right now, in front of your faces. I can generate a 4,000 degree situation that will instantly explode the aluminum. And because of thrust and aluminum together, if you can get it 4,000 degrees, makes an thermite explosion. It'll be tiny, won't hurt anybody. You can see all the spots on here. So here's why. These are round cannonballs. And because they're round, the actual contact point is tiny. And because it's tiny, with 8 pounds hitting 8 pounds at high speed, it makes 4,000 degree point of contact just in one little tiny spot. Now, you don't want thermite to be much bigger than that. It actually burned through everything. So I'm going to hit these and see if I can make a thermite explosion. Science is observable. Mm-hmm. Period. It's observable. Yeah. If it's not observable, it's not science. And so evolutionists made something called historical science, which means I take my guesswork and call it science.
Right.
But it's not, and not just observable, it's repeatably observable. If you can't do it twice, they don't call it science. You can call it anything. You saw a ghost, a miracle, whatever, but it's not science unless it's observable and repeatable. So that's my science lesson for the day. Here's the hit. Did you see the explosion?
Yeah.
Bigger than you thought. Did you see it make a small galaxy of explosion, a big bang? Let's do it again. Oh, that's a good one. They're often not that big. I mean, this is great. I'll do a third time because I've never done this good twice. Oh, not. Okay, I'm sorry. Now, does anybody want to try it? Anybody want to try it? I have students all the time want to try it. Okay.
You go ahead, brother.
Sure.
Okay.
Too bad my boys weren't here. They'd really...
Your boys were here first. They saw it already.
I'm surprised they didn't blow the place up.
They wanted to. No, you can't. Try it hitting like that. Now lift one up and come down at high speed. Much harder hit.
You're like scraping
them. Whoople. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
4,000 degree explosion. Oh, yeah.
All right. It's getting better each time.
Oh, okay, those are three of the best ones I've seen. You get an A for this minute of class.
All right. Is that transfer?
So I'm gonna lay these here. If any of you want to try it, like when we're done here, you can just pick them up and try them. You probably are dying to try it. Okay, I knew that. Okay. The second thing I'm going to do is take this flame and I'm going to light some candles. This is just sand. All right? And I was needing a long glass tube, and I went to the dollar store, and they were on the half price table. So they were $5 a piece, but I got them both for $5. And it's perfect for what I want to teach today. This is probably the number one thing in my life that assured me that science is God's handiwork. And I'll explain this to you once I show the slide. So let's get these lit. I timed one last night in my room, hoping I didn't burn down the building. There. So we're just going to let them burn while I talk, right? Kind of like radioactive decay, it's a burn. You've heard of potassium, argon, uranium, lead dating, carbon-14 dating. All that is measuring burn rate. And the burn rate here, since I did it last night, is between 14 and 15 and a half minutes. Pretty close. I'll probably hit pretty close. Carbon 14 is the next closest. It does short-term dating, and it can go maybe since in every like 7,000 years roughly, carbon 14 is half as much. It decays away. And if you go smaller, 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 maybe 30 or 40,000 years, there's no carbon 14. Anything on Earth with carbon 14 in it, a radioactive of carbon, like carbon dioxide and CO2. Well, carbon 14 is just a radioactive carbon dioxide. And since it goes half-life is so short, 35,000 years. I'll give it 50,000 years. But anything, if it's got carbon 14 in it, it's under the burn rate. Right? So, I had a friend in West Virginia who worked in the coal mines. I was in the YMCA. And he went down there and he said to me, when we go down, there's nothing but fossils and trees all across the ceiling of the coal mine, the solid coal mine. It's plants, animals, trees, everything laying flat as they cut through the coal mine. And I said, well, that would be a museum. He said, when we were done with it, they flooded it so you couldn't get in there. Why? There's more non-Christians than there are Christians in the world, and they hate God. And if you look up and you see that the earth is quite young, because everything's mixed, if you can mix things together, there wasn't an age of the dinosaurs, right? Dinosaurs, if they were on the ark, should be alive after the flood. Mm-hmm. And that's science. So what this is, I'm trying to get a burn rate. Okay. Oh, by the way, all coal has carbon 14 in it. Let's double it, but give it 100,000 years. If there's carbon 14 in it, it can't be older than actually 35,000 years, but let's say 100. Where's the millions of years? That's not even close.
That's right.
Right? All oil has carbon 14 in it. Of course, all plants do too. It's happening all the time in living things. The biggie was in Africa. There's diamond mines there. And they've got some diamonds out from billions of years of evolutionary age. All diamonds have carbon 14 in them. It puts them under 50,000 years. Could be any time there, probably 6,000 would be my guess, or maybe 4,500. There was a flood and everything got covered. With carbon 14, it ages it. That's because it's so short a decay rate, it's the most accurate. If you go to the big ones, you're guessing. So I went to that conference in Pittsburgh, and I think I mentioned that I talked to a guy that did that, and he said, if we don't turn out something in the range, we get fired. They're not counted. So the evolutionists say nothing that comes against us counts, and then they say there's no evidence for creation. All right. This, I showed you a laser yesterday, I think. I might have it laying here, I don't know. But this is my, I got this from China. It's legal, barely. And if I'm doing astronomy, you can hit the moon with it. I mean, it goes really far. It looks like you're hitting the moon. If you hit a plane, you're going to go to jail. They'll give you coordinates right away. But if I touch it to something like black, like, hold that in the air.
Okay.
Just right there. So I'm not going to hurt you. Okay, you ready? This is called a laser.
Where'd it go?
All right. And it's pretty sweet. If I shoot on glass, it might reflect back, because lasers do that. Let's see here. You see that?
Yeah.
Show me a flashlight that can do that. Yesterday I was in here with the kids, and we were shooting my little laser gun that glass, and it was hitting that wall. So I know that works. It's a laser. And it's easy. There's distance about that far. So what I wanted to do today is have you help me.
Sure.
Okay. I want you to come about right there and hold that balloon. Okay?
All right.
Now, just going to stand back, okay, and maybe a little lower, and I'm going to explode it and make a big bang. Now in there is Scrabble pieces that equal amino acids. We're made of protein, which are made of amino acids. Amino acids are all right-handed, and DNA is all left-handed, which means all the proteins, if you take proteins out of nature, they're 50-50. But evolution says that proteins put themselves together and ordered them and had to be all right or left-handed. So if any of these Scrabble pieces turn upside down, it would instantly negate anything on the ground. Like, I'm going to ask you to read the small sentence it's going to make right now. But if any things are upside down, it would be, in chemistry, undo it. Because DNA has to be all left-handed, and proteins have to be all right-handed. It's called chelarity. And so they can't be upside down. And when they land, they need to spell words. Okay, out here, maybe a little lower because it's going to scatter. Ready? Big bang. Okay, now, I rest my case. Look, that one's sideways. If there's one upside down, so it can't make a protein, it can't make DNA.
But
the only question is, not the upside down, but when the ones are up, how many words can you read?
One I here.
That's the letter I. So you got one word, I. I see three E's, A, K. I did this in Peru at a home study one night, and I did this for on a rug, it's better, they don't scatter so far. But the kids ran up, and they got down, they started making words with the letters. That took intelligence. They wrote a little sentence with the letters, and I thought, what? That's intelligent design.
And they have to go in order? Do the letters have to go in order to spell words?
They have to be in order, or evolution is a lie from the very start.
Because I see Dan, but you can't do that.
No, I have to make a word. In fact, it has to make enough words. It has to make enough words to make an encyclopedia in order, understandable, to make one protein. And we're gazillions, DNA is gazillions of proteins, and there's little factories in us that read and take apart and put together, and it's all intelligent, but you have to start with protein, and it has to come left-handed or right-handed, and it has to be intelligent. It has to have intelligence. There's no possible way. Here it is. I can walk away right now. There's no possible way in science to make life unless you can make intelligence out of proteins. And it takes a mind to do that.
Amen.
So the classic is, you're walking across the beach and you say a heart with "I love you" written in it. Mm-hmm. Now, is your first thought that the waves did that? Right? What? The only possible way for an intelligence, just three words, "I love you," is that a human had intelligence. That's called intelligent design. Now, there's people that push intelligent design, that I respect them, they're brilliant, they're geniuses, but they don't believe there was a young earth, the Bible, the flood. 4,500 years ago, there was a flood, right? Hey, my candles are still burning, by the way. But it's been about 12 minutes of me talking. That's how you measure decay rate in radioactive things. Good enough for right now. We'll pick up, maybe as I'm talking now, they'll assemble themselves together and make some words without intelligence. And if they won't, evolution's dead from the beginning. Yeah. And all this old earth is because they hate God.
Right.
All right. I hope this works. Oh, by the way, that's Martin Luther. And he said something that I love. If we were a Lutheran or whatever he was, what happened, he was reading the Bible and realized it Rome and the Bible didn't match. What he was taught from Rome did not match what the Bible said. And thus, and before him was a John Huss, before him, who was his hero, who gave his life because the Bible didn't match Rome's dictates. So, his quote, "If you can't believe that God made the world in 6 days, then grant the Holy Spirit to be more learned than you are." That's Luther. All right. Let me sit down here and put it back to the start. I just wanted to see how much David and him looked the same.
I'm more handsome, I believe.
Okay. I'm going to... back it up here. This is geology, fossils. The word polystrate is today's key word. And that's my talk. I can be done here in a second. Have you seen everything? All right. It should start about right there. And let's, I need it. By the way, that's one of the most strongest verses in the entire Bible that Jesus made everything. John 1, verse 3, which says, all things were made by him, and without Jesus was not anything made that was made. If you don't want to believe that, you can throw your Bible away. I was a science teacher for my whole life. It was hard to believe evolution because of this foolishness you just saw. They ask you to believe that because they hate God. And I'll explain that to you in a minute. Let's go on. There's so many verses in the Bible. This verse ends the flat earth thing, by the way. I argued with a guy this week about it, a Christian. He stretches out the north over the empty place and hangs the earth upon nothing. Now, that's in Job. It's sometimes said to be the oldest book. Moses' five books and Job might have been in the same time range. But God talks in Job. You want to hear about God, just read Job. Here's Jesus again. And we had a sermon on this week, didn't we? That one man came to Jesus by night. And Jesus says something like that. How can I tell you heavenly things? Creation is a miracle. Amen. Evolution says 2 + 2 = 5. And they fight for it. And they can prove it. I'll show you their proof now in a minute. By the way, you can live 1,000 lives, and when you take 2 + 2, you're always going to get 4. That's just the facts of life. How do you get something that doesn't fit, not right? You just have to believe a lie. Amen. All right? So this guy won a Nobel Prize that said this statement. He said, time is the hero of the plot. That's how we're going to believe in evolution. We're going to add time. We need an old earth so old that we can't just guess what happened. And then they said, and everything stayed the same. There was no flood. The flood's a biggie in atheistic world and most scientists, but there's some solid scientists that God saved, just like Luther. Now let's see. So time is the hero. The impossible becomes possible, and down to the end, the probable becomes virtually certain. One only has to wait. Time itself performs miracles, and that's the religion of evolution. That's the theory of evolution. Of course, a blob, life came by itself, but it has to read a code as big as a set of encyclopedias to make the simplest cell by chance. And the answer is, there's no way, it's zero. But if you start with that, and then everything came from this, and see, you're related to a horse and an ape and an amoeba. They all came from the same thing, and they keep changing over and over. That's not Darwin's theory. It was long before Darwin. The Greeks believed something like that. And if you want to talk about, like, the summary, this, I won't see you again. So if you want the atheistic view, anything but God. That's their view. Anything but God. And then it boils down to a fight for the Bible. We can have any religion but the Bible. And they'll go that far. They won't go further than that unless God does a work on their heart. So let's compare. I've tried to say all this. What about the fossil evidence? Evolution says fossils show organisms evolved over long periods of time and were buried in watery sediments through slow and gradual processes. And then Bible says fossils show organisms appeared suddenly and were buried rapidly in watery sediments during Noah's flood. So my candles are done burning. My 15 minutes are up. So I'm going to take some sand I wish it was dry, and I'm going to, just a minute. I'm going to cover them. Just wanted to push it in, make it nice and see the falling down. Okay. And that should be pretty much enough. You kind of see a line there where it happened. Let's cover these ones. I didn't burn these, by the way. When you're teaching, and kids can see a visual, they learn much, much faster. And so, hands-on science, I found if you want kids to listen to your lecture, you break things up. Either you do something every 15 minutes, or you make them either smile or cry. Any emotion resets their attention span 15 minutes. You ever hear the evangelist Randy Bain? He's so easy to listen to because he keeps changing directions and you perk up. He's got 15 more minutes. He could talk for hours as long as he keeps doing what he does, which is be Randy Bain. The closest I can come to him are the good stand-up comics on TV because they'll hold a crowd like you all were doing with the jokes at breakfast. Did anybody feel like leaving? You know, I'll tell you what, 15-minute time span came and went at the breakfast table because we were having some emotion at the table. I laughed so hard I couldn't breathe. When he stood up, I thought, oh, no. And you know, do you ever hear a good speaker? I'm not trying to puff you up, but I had this reaction. I was taught speaking, how to hold to a crowd. Did you ever go to a sermon or just a lecture where he does his hour or whatever, and he says, thank you, and you say, is it over already? Yeah. It's been an hour. And you say, is it over? Why? Because that speaker kept your attention span in some way or another. And I was getting a master's degree, and they showed me four ways to keep a crowd. Well, I'm comedic, and that's all it takes for kids. I have a lifetime of kids often being their favorite teacher because they stayed with me. And when they don't stay with you, I just change and have them touch something. Do a lab, show a film, anything to keep them going. Make them laugh or cry, and you own them, whether it's God or not. Okay. Oh, these candles are, you see these candles here? Can you kind of see them there or not?
I don't know.
Okay. So this is critical. Because if this doesn't end the evolution forever, this does. And that's my talk today. I have a bad back, so if I sit on this and talk to you, I'll show the slides, and I'll get close to this thing here, and we'll be good. Today's experiment day. Oh, I have a teddy bear I brought, by the way. I'm going to let Earl be the keeper of the teddy bear, because you got to hold the cannonballs, all right? But it's expensive. I paid $100 Canadian for this.
Okay.
So just put it beside you or something, and don't tell them what you feel right now.
Okay.
All right. All right, let's go on. We did this. Can we let God, the Holy Spirit, grant that God's bigger than we are? So, Mount St. Helens, 1980, and it blew. And then there was a conference I mentioned in Pittsburgh, and I went, met all the big names of the past. I was a nobody, but I loved to hear them all. These Christian professors and pastors from California, they gave us this thing in the college, a dorm. We were sitting around this round table just talking and enjoying each other, and they told me stories in the snow, because they were cross-country skiers, of Bigfoot tracks. They're Christian professors. And I remember them saying that they went up over the hill. I mean, the long stride. They couldn't walk up the hill. They had their ski trail, but they crossed tracks that were humanoid but long. Now, I don't know what you want to do with that, but maybe some Christians lie. Or maybe there's things in science we don't know. When I'm done today, I hope you think that. Okay, In hours and days, Mount St. Helens blew open a Grand Canyon. It was the gas, the cloud, the water, and the mud. And it's a mini Grand Canyon. But it shows what happens when there's a catastrophe, right? That happened, and look at the little stream in the middle. That was there because the volcano blew out the whole canyon. And then when it rains, the stream trickles through, just like the Colorado River. The Colorado River is tiny compared to the hundreds of miles across of that floodplain. And if you go down in the floodplain, you know it's a floodplain because all the layers are flat. They didn't have time to erode. Lines, lines, lines. I spend my life driving and looking at lines in the rocks. And I had to drive from Georgia up to my house in West Virginia, and the road was closed. We took a mountain road through Tennessee and Kentucky. And I saw geology. I wanted to photograph it all. Just lines, lines, lines. Some place the lines were bumpy. It was so clear. That's the best I can do. Let's go on. That's a close-up, and that's Steve Austin there. He was at that meeting. And look, check that out. What's that remind you of right there? It's looking like kind of the Grand Canyon a little bit. See, there's a line. There's hundreds of lines in here. There's another line here. It all happened in hours and days. It was mud flows and pyroclastic stuff falling down and flowing, and it made, oh, look at this. That's in Utah, not the Grand Canyon. You had the same thing that happened in St. Helens in a week. And we're calling that, well, it must be millions of years. Well, not with Mount St. Helens having happened. All right? The Grand Canyon is the same. Nothing but lines. It happened in minutes and hours at Mount St. Helens, and God broke open the fountains of the deep during the flood. And the earth cracked open. If you have 1,000 volcanoes instead of one, what would it do? If you have rain coming down for 40 days and the waters that are under the earth, there's a huge water under the earth shooting up from that open, and you can see in the Atlantic Pacific an open place, they call it the Middle Atlantic Ridge. It's opening still. You have water and volcanic power shooting up and rain coming down, you'd have a Mount St. Helens situation times a million. You might even have an earth that got covered with water. The mountains would have come after the flood when things buckled. And that's, I'm going to show you today why you know that that happened that way. Okay, let's go on. There's these bends here in the Himalayas, you see that? I was looking at some Christian scientists at Cedarville, and they were electromicrographing slices of those rocks. They went to the Grand Canyon because it's all the world's the same. If it happened millions of years, they'd be metamorphic. There would be like marble or something. There, between the sand grains, there would be filler. If it was a flood, between the sand grains, there would be air because it was a flood. Boom, boom, boom. It's very tiny air, but you can see with the electron microscope, right? So they went and checked these bends out. They were folded wet. That's why they didn't break. They were still wet from the flood, and there was massive earth movement and upheaval after the flood. There wasn't five ice ages. Think how hot the air was during the flood and all these volcanoes. And then when the earth cooled, the earth was covered with snow on both poles. I mean, deep. And then as it melts, we have what we have today. I lived in Alaska. I played under glaciers. In fact, they said I can get rich because there's gold down there. So my buddy got a wetsuit and his wife, and they went down and they just sucked the gravel in front of a glacier that was receding. And they got enough gold to go buy a new Ford Bronco. Now back then it was like $5,000-$6,000, and they bought it. And so I ordered a wetsuit, and I'd had some scuba instruction, and my wife wouldn't go down with me, but I wanted to do that. And around then, my life changed, and in the military, I went from there to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And I went from what I did, survival equipment, to carpentry and metalwork. And then finally, as I stayed in the Guard, I liked it. I went to State College and I broke secret code. And then I got out. I wish I hadn't. I had 13 years and I'd be getting a check if I'd stayed 7 more. I just couldn't do it. There's the Grand Canyon. That's a person there. All these folds were electron micrographed that there's air between the sand. They were folded wet. That's a lot of earth movement, but it's happened quickly. There's Jerusalem. I don't care where you go in the world, there was a flood and the earth buckled. And the lines, there's lines there, they're just bent. That's Andrew Snelling, he's my hero, Answers in Genesis geologist, and that's him there, and that's that Grand Canyon. The folds actually crazy here, but they kind of go up 90 degrees there. That's a 90 degree bend. And then they go up here, another 90 degree bend. And he took rocks from these bends and he checked them, and there was air between the sand grains. They were folded wet. Exciting to me. Anyway, so did the flood really happen? Was there a worldwide flood? Well, that's me going to church, and there was this deer keel. You know how they blow it up and get fat, dead deer? And so I'm not going to take it home and eat it. And then as time passed, and I did this all on the same day, I had to pick two different deer. I live in a mountain, West Virginia, there's deer everywhere. And the rotten one, I flipped it over. Look, there was just some skin on top, and there was nothing. There's nothing but bones in it. So if things decay in the summer, that was just a few months. From the deer I saw killed, road killed, to nothing. Himalayas, curves. Here's a fossil that shows what happens when you can't breathe. Now, I'd like to pick one of you. Maybe back there, you, I could. Can I stop you from breathing for like 10 minutes and show what happens to your body? When animals with a long neck die, like dinosaurs, they go into this pose where they can't breathe and they get no oxygen and their neck goes back. If you find a fossil where that happened, they were at that moment dying of no oxygen. They were underwater. But how do you get a dinosaur and a fish in the same exact picture? Unless there was a massive flood and everything was being washed around like a washing machine. And by the way, around the world, that's exactly what you see. They just never tell you that. So the fossil record, let's look at it. Was there a flood? That turtle's fossilized perfectly. The soft stuff's gone. This is all in Wyoming, the Green River. And I had some fossils to show you. I don't think I brought them down from the Green River, but I have a dinosaur fossil, and some, I'll take them over to the lunchroom. Let me see some of the fossils. So in the Green River in Wyoming, that's a fossil down here, but everything here was also found in fossil form, and this place I was reading just showed the pictures of what was found in the Green River. Now look at the mix of life there. Okay, it was all found in one place in Wyoming. You can go there today and do fossils yourself. If you buy them from Green River, they cost hundreds of dollars today if you get a good fossil. I have one. I have two fish died so quick that it looks like one. If you look real, real hard, you can see it's two fish. They just died fast. Also, these were all found in the Green River. Now think about the animals you're seeing and where they live. How do you get a clam and a bat in the same place at the same time? Unless they were dead in a mud flow and just layer, layer, layer. By the way, if the ocean's filled up, you would see ocean things at the bottom. Then you'd see like bottom ocean stuff. Then you'd see ocean stuff. Then you'd see shallow water stuff. Then you'd see shoreline stuff and then mountain stuff. And that's what you see in the rocks. That thing you saw of Darwin is not the case. The case is it's flood deposition. And it's visible in all around the world. So the question mark is, how in the world? Oh, by the way, this fish, the moment it died, it had just caught another fish, and it died that fast. It caught a fish, and it was covered, and they've got fossilized together. How long did that take? A million years? All right, so how long does it take to make a fossil? And the answer is fossils can be formed relatively quickly. And you have to get rapid burial in the presence of minerals that can replace and fill the space. In England, there's a spring that has heavy mineral water. Who's holding the animal? And so, is that me or you? Is it? It's 12? Am I out of time?
No.
This is a fossil. They put these bears under this spring, mineral spring, and it takes months, and it turns a bear into a rock.
Interesting.
It's real. It's a rock, but it was a bear, and it got fossilized in months.
What kind of bear is it?
It's called a teddy bear.
A teddy bear. What's a real bear?
So pass it around, and let me go on. It depends how big the animal is. They hang all kinds of stuff there. You can buy things there. I was in Canada. They asked me to give a creation talk up in Canada, the guy that comes here. And there was a guy there that had a fossil museum. He was closing down, and he was selling stuff. And he needed money. I said, I'll give you $100 for it. And just because I wanted it, and it would help him. And then I got it home and tried to research, and I couldn't find enough on it to pay $100, so I gave it back to the pastor, and I said, give it back to him. And then as I studied more over the months, I realized that that's exactly where they're made, in England at that spring, and I saw some more there. So I called the pastor, and I said, hey, pay that guy $100, I'll pay you back at camp when you come. And he says, well, listen, let me pay him 100 Canadian, that's 70 of your dollars. He said, and then give that 70 to the camp when you come here, which I did. And there's the bear.
What place in England is that?
Pardon me?
Where in England do they do that?
You'd look up mineral springs in England on the internet. I can do it here, but it's noon. Okay, how long does it take? Well, for that bear, you tell me. All right, now there's a tree that was buried so fast that the rock layers covered it piece by piece, and the tree turned to rock just like that bear. And of course, you know that wood rots, don't you? You go in the woods and it's really old tree, you put your foot in it and it goes down in. Or it gets hollow and falls apart. So a tree standing up, when Mount St. Helens blew, all these trees, thousands of trees came into this crater lake. And they had their roots ripped off. There was just thick roots, but the dirt ball kept them all standing upright. And as it happened, it filled with mud, more trees, more trees, more trees, and there was tree, tree, tree in Crater Lake. Steve Austin observed this, they had cameras. Well, there's a petrified forest in a national park, and they say it took millions of years. But in Mount St. Helens, it happened in days and weeks. Same exact thing. And how can trees have layers without rotting the next million year period? There's no way, things rot. And that's my biggest evolution story. Because it's in more than one strata, they call things like that polystrate trees. They found a well in California in a quarry that was that direction, lines, a fossil. Okay, can we trust God's word about science? And that's a T-Rex. I'm in South Dakota. That's my daughter when I was teaching. Here's a guy, this is one of the biggest science guys, is David Reeves. He's worth looking at. He's growing like mad, but he Anita and I were at it. He was one of the speakers. There's two trees. Look at the flatness right here. You see that? How flat and flat and flat. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Well, that's not time. That's flood. And the trees just were floating with a root ball, and they ended up that way in a big, big flood. There's no way to get around that. There's no answer by evolution for that. So I'll tell you in a minute what the five evolution professors said to me at the table at a luncheon at an evolution conference. In a minute. Yellowstone used to have signs saying this took millions of years. They've removed the signs after Mount St. Helens. All right. One tree buried upright. There's thousands around the world. Joggins Cliffs in Nova Scotia, you can go and see these trees right from the shore. You can stand and see them. Okay? And let's compare trees to polystrate candles, which I have here. All right? So here they are. Three of the candles I let burn down, like evolution says, time between layers. Like here's a layer and here's a layer, and I let them burn down to nothing, and then I put the sand on, and you can't see them. The trees that I didn't burn that were there when I poured the sand on are still there. Do you see them? 1, 2, 3, do you see those? Those are polystrate candles. That's exactly what happened around the whole world, everywhere. There's polystrate fossils of strata, 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 and things rot. Oh, let's see, am I going the wrong way? Yeah, I do that. Okay, rapid burial. This here is from the Green River in Wyoming. I got one of these where there's two fish in one. Two dinosaurs were fighting when they got covered. They found that. It happened instantly. All right, rapid burial. Death pose fossils. And look at that fish eating the fish. Hey, this is insane. You can't fossilize something without bones in it, right? Wrong. There's an octopus. They don't have bones. That's an octopus fossil, folks. What? That's a good question. Why don't we find human fossils? Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you one answer. When I was teaching, what?
Giants.
Oh, we found giants in mounds around the world, here and in Europe.
But they were fossilized, weren't they?
Well, they were preserved. They dried out. I mean, the bacteria had ate them away till they were all. They were just a pile of skin and bones. But they're there, they found them, and they could measure their length, so they knew they were giants.
So then we can't fossilize humans.
Yeah, we can fossilize. I'll tell you what, let me come to my swimming pool, and you go under, and I'll pour cement from a truck onto you. And let it get hard, and I'll wait a few hundred years, and I'll bet you you're a fossil. Not an Indian in a mound that dried out because people put them there, where covering of dirt makes, pardon me? It's rock. All it is rock. It's just a lot of calcium in it. It's rock. Let's go on. Oh, by the way, that's impossible if evolution's true. How about the jellyfish there? How come the dinosaurs are dying because they can't breathe underwater, under mud? Okay. Did fossils take millions of years? Well, let's take an experiment. Let's take our dead cat and let's wait for a few days. And he turns to a very smelly dead cat. You've been there. And then day 20, we'll call him Earl. And we start finding that. That's how that deer was when I found him. And then more of Earl, day 38. And day 65, where's Earl? That's about the right rate for a dead deer along the road, or a raccoon, right? And evolution, I was taught this in school, so were you, where things fall to the bottom, they die, they get slowly covered, and there's a fossil. I learned that in school. Yeah?
During those days, human beings, weren't they covered with mud and such? Did they fossilize?
Were there any fossilized human beings? We found a fossilized hammer in coal, a human hammer. We found fossilized artifacts like that, but it seems like the flood as it came up killed the ocean stuff first and then the swamp stuff, and humans would have floated around in the water and rotted because they were on top. They had the sense to float. Anything floating would have died in the water and rotted. And that's one answer. Another is that every time they find it, like in California, they found some human stuff in a mountain, and it was instantly squelched. I knew about it. I read about it. And then the science decision was, don't publish it, get it out of the books, and they did. So if there was human stuff, you would never hear it, because Satan is the god of this world.
Amen.
That's my answer.
Amen.
All right. If you want to make a fossil, this is what I just said to you. Pour concrete on it. And it'll rot in the middle because there's bacteria there, but it'll be a nice imprint of it left over. And bones show instant death. There is an ichthyosaur. Did it die instantly? It was a female. It was having a baby at the exact time it got covered. Check it out. That water dinosaur is having a baby as it died. That fish was eating a fish. That's the best one I know, by the way. Days of creation, which we don't have to go over again. God says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The worlds, that means the universe, plural. So that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. In other words, God said it, and we believe it. Amen. And if you want me to qualify that, Jesus Christ rose from the grave. That settles it. You know what that is? They found fossils on top of Mount Everest, the tallest mountain in the world. And there's 95% of fossils are seashells. From bottom to top, it was all a big mix. Okay, that word is opisthotonic, death pose. I just went to Google and wrote that word, and I got these pictures. Just so you know, I'm not lying to you. Okay, here's an evolutionist, Eastern Utah Museum. He said, we find mammals in almost all of our dinosaur dig sites, like I just showed you in Wyoming, right? What does he say? He says, these were not noticed years ago. See, they say mammals and dinosaurs didn't live together. Here's one, an evolutionist, that says they were abundant. We have about 20,000 pounds of bentonite clay that has mammal fossils we're trying to give away. It's not that they're not important, that's not quite true. It's just that you only live once, and I specialize on dinosaurs. That's what he says. Evolutionist. Green River. Think about it again. Now, in the Chinese zodiac, they used an animal that they saw for every zodiac constellation, 12. By the way, Maseroth, the word's mentioned in the Bible, in Job, I think. So that's 12 signs. They come during the year. Well, look at the January, February, March. Look at May for its Chinese zodiac symbol. It's a dragon, and that's the word for dinosaur before 1800s. Let's go on. Marco Polo. I took history. I learned about him. He went to China. What they never tell you, what you're not allowed to know, is that he wrote that the emperor raised dragons to pull his carts in parades. That's history hidden from you. All right? St. George is the patron saint of England, a Christian. He slayed a dragon, and it was, they made it in rock, and there's Baryonyx, which is a dinosaur fossils, around the site where he killed the dragon. That's what he killed. He killed a Baryonyx. And then he led the town to Christ, as I read. Cambodia, middle of the jungle. Everything's growing around it. They have all the animals of the jungle in rock. This is one of them. What were they seeing after the flood? Bishop Bell in England, around his tomb, he wanted all the animals that were around him, and one of the animals are these long necks. Mesopotamia, cylinder seal, again, long necks. By the way, that neck pose, that's called necking. Did you ever neck with, like, husband's wife kind of thing, or you never did that? Do animals really neck? Well, giraffes do. They just have long necks. I don't think they're mating. I think they're just talking or something. My daughter lives in Peru, and they have these Ica stones, and they have these clear-cut dinosaurs, all different kinds on the stones. They're 1,000 years or older in graves, and they baked them, and they made all kind of pictures. Evolutionists say all the pictures except dinosaurs are 1,000 years old, but the dinosaurs are fakes. That's their story. Aristotle, Herodotus. Now, Isaiah mentions flying fiery serpents, but historians also mention them. in history. American Indians out west drew dinosaurs on rocks. They're called petroglyphs. In Africa, in the Congo, the natives say they're alive still to this day. And that's excited me. They call it Mokele Mbembe. That's their language. Pygmies. And Walt Disney made a movie about it called Baby, by the way, years ago. That's where I got the picture. In South America, natives say that there's a 20-foot sloth, like in the fossils, giant sloth. They're extinct, right? But they say they still roam the Amazon, and they see them once in a while. They're aggressive. What are you going to do with that? Well, one of the men that lived in 1983 drew a picture of that Mokele Mbembe, and that's his picture. All right? An evolutionist from Chicago University went there and took that photograph of a track he found in the mud. What made it? And then the Indians said they ate one and made them all sick. But they also report to this day, by the way, that in this area of the Congo, it's Lakkawala Swamp. It's probably the biggest swamp in the world, with New Guinea being a close rival. And other places, in 58, there were reports of flying reptiles eating dead human bodies as they bury their bodies in the ocean. And they had to fight away these birds till they sank. Birds, they're not birds, they said they were reptiles. That's how they described them right there. I was reading a newspaper. I'm about done here, by the way. I was reading a newspaper, and in South Africa, it had a report of the village said this thing came out of the swamp, Papua New Guinea, and it stood on two legs. It had a oil barrel, like big as an oil barrel, around. It had a dog-like head, and it had a long tail. And it came in front of the village and ate five dogs in front of them. They called the army. The army came. They followed it into the swamp, and they couldn't find it. I read that from South Africa, because in America, you're not allowed to read stuff like that. They censor it. The latest one I have is interviewed in 2012, which is what, 10 years ago? 11? That she looked out her back door in New Guinea and saw, that's how she described it. My best. When I was young, Kent Hovind was a big creation speaker. Then he went to jail, and he fell away to some degree. Anyway, the Sandy Mansi in New York State saw this animal swimming and took a picture of it. That's a photograph of a plesiosaur in 1977. And read it. Police officers saw it, law saw it, clergy, college profs, a whole boatload of tourists saw it. The best known photograph is this one. If you didn't know there was a dinosaur in New York State, there might not be today, but it was there in 1977. Or whatever that is. Yeah. Well, yeah.
You look more handsome now than you did then.
I want to see you after the talk. All right. So what have we learned? Let's review. The Bible's real. God is. He just exists.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
There was a flood. The Bible says so. Everything I've showed you screams flood.
Yeah.
And then some. There's no question unless you ignore it. And that's what they do. My final story. I went to an evolution conference. Did I tell you this yet or not? And there's six professors or five. Did I tell you this yet? Around the table. And I said, I'd learned this stuff as a young Christian. Professor here, I said to him, I'm eating my lunch, he's eating his. I said, what do you think of polystrate fossils? This. Because if they were covered during a flood, you would find there's thousands of trees, polystrate. Right, too straight of here, trees. If they rot down, there's no polystrate fossils. If there's time, they rot. Millions of years, Noah's flood. Right? So I said to this guy, because it proves creation, no hands down. And I got taught a lesson that day. I said to him, that's all I said, what do you think of polystrate fossils? I was a young creationist, had been evolutionist, and this is unanswerable. And he looked away from me, looked at the other college professors, and he said, creation is religion, evolution is science. And they all laughed and ate their meal. And I ate my meal and never said another word. That was his answer. Facts don't mean a thing It's a faith. And so when you're talking to someone, God alone, God is. He alone opens blind eyes. So if you're witnessing or anything, it doesn't matter. If someone gets saved, it was God. And so how important is prayer? And this is for the kids when I have kids. And we must go to Him. We need Him. You need Him. Amen. And that's it. Ken Ham, on the way up here, I heard this on the radio. I'm not going to let the fallible ideas of man, no matter how great a Christian they are, to override what the world says. We all need to be Bereans and search the Scriptures. And the fact is, we need to challenge Christians today, because most big name Christian leaders have gone to old earth, evolution time, thousands, millions of years. And there's a small number, it's a minority of Christians who would hold to the things I just showed you, even though they're provable. Do you know why? And Christians, Ken Ham said there certainly were Christians. They were just fooled by the massive amount of lies taught to them from little up. Mm-hmm. High school, college. Most kids leave Christ pretty soon. And it's not necessarily homosexuality, it's old earth. That he finds in his studies have driven kids away from God. They stop going to church. What are you going to do about it? There's nothing you can do about it. You share the word of God, you tell the truth, and there's nothing, if there's anything here I said that's not true, I'll give you a $100 bill. I have it right here, just raise your hand. Good, because I don't have a $100 bill. What, your hand went up, okay, what?
Here's a thought. When God made Adam, he made the full-grown man.
Yes.
30 years, whatever. When God made Eve, he made a little girl. He made her with Eve.
Yes, yes. And that I've heard that my whole life. The thing is, if in real science, you don't even need that, because the rocks have lines in them. There was a flood.
Sure. And I'm not denying that, but what I'm saying is, whatever he made, he made for the age.
And that includes the earth, the sun, the stars, the moon. That includes making the earth. That includes the air we breathe. That includes light before the sun was made. That was all God. He's bigger than we can even think. If we stood in front of him,
it has light years away, and yet you see it. God made the connection immediately.
Because God can do that. He makes light.
And that too, the light had to travel, you know, a million years to get here from that distant place. You see it immediately because God connects it all.
And that's exactly what God did. And there's astronomers with these creation organizations that are worth looking. I showed you one, my favorite, yesterday, but what are you going to do with all this? Well, you're going to trust God, your Bible's good, and you don't got to worry about people telling you that's not true. I've lived that lie, and everything I showed you, I can prove. I showed you things in the rocks, and there was a flood.
Yes.
Praise his name.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah, I lived there. That's true.
Well, they got in the boat and went down there. Chuck told me, and Ronnie told me, he said, we didn't have a camera, which we had. He said, that mastodon is standing there just like this, just like the day he died. There's no way it could die except for all that sediment falling on him sudden. Amen. And they got the chainsaw and cut the mastodon dust off.
Isn't that neat? In Siberia, there were some glaciers, and they had their dogs with them, and they found a mastodon standing in a glacier in ice. And they cut it, it melted, had melted out of there, and they, the meat was still good, and they fed it to their sled dogs. Fresh meat in a Siberian glacier. When the snow came down, there was one ice age, heavy snow, changed the world for a while, and then it melted back, and here we are today. God is. Bottom line.
All fits,
Brother David?